Our scripture reading for this morning is coming from Psalm 51. Psalm 51, y'all, verse 17. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Simply says this: the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken, repentant heart, oh God. Let me read that again. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, oh God. I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, broken to be blessed. Broken to be blessed. There's a song that gospel recording artist sung a long time ago. It's been a few years back. His name is Micah Stampley. Perhaps some of you heard about him. That he sung a song titled, Take My Life. In the song, we see these lyrics in this song. It says, brokenness. Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Gotta be broken. Yeah. Brokenness. Brokenness is what you want for me. You know, I love that song. I still love it today. You ever sing those types of songs that you sing and it just sounds so good, but it takes a minute for it to marinate? It takes a minute for you to really digest the song and really understand what the song is really saying. That God wants brokenness for me? Now we're talking about the God of favor. We're talking about the God of grace. We're talking about the God of tremendous blessings. Why would God want me to ever be broken? The same God that heals me is able to work best through me when in my hurt, in my pain, in my suffering, in my humanity. It's a paradox, y'all. It's a contradictory statement. Because for me, the words broken and blessed simply do not go together. But I believe this. When we fit our brokenness into its proper place in our lives, I believe that God is able to bless us tremendously. And here's the point. Many of us know what it feels like to be broken. Many of us know what it feels like to have our world shattered. The people turn their backs on you and you feel broken. The people walk out of your life and you feel broken. That your body is racking with pain and you feel broken. That sometimes you feel like your world is falling apart, that it's totally shattered. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't even want to get out of bed? That you didn't want to raise your head from the pillow? Has there ever been a time in your life when you thought, I'll never stop crying, the tears will never stop flowing? But I found out something in my life, beloved. Listen, some of the best times in my life, some of the times when I felt closest to God is when I was broken. I never thought it would be that way, but I've had that experience, and I believe some of you all have too. That's right. After brokenness, we can experience God's greatest blessings. Yeah. And so this morning, I simply want us to look at this Old Testament passage, Psalm 51, a very familiar passage to Bible readers, so that we can understand better this paradox of how brokenness leads to blessings in our lives. And so the first thing that we learn simply is this, is that we learned the meaning of brokenness. What does it mean to be broken? I'm glad you want to know. So Psalm 51, for those that may not know, we find a man who appears to be nothing more than a shadow of his former self. That some folk called him a giant killer. Others knew him as a mighty warrior, that he killed his tens of thousands. But today in our text, we find a man that's broken. In the dim light of his bedroom chambers, his eyes flooded with tears, his heart filled with sorrow and pain, his hands trembling, he writes a message to God pleading for mercy. This is a man that's known for chasing after the very heart of God. But now he clutches to the hand of God, asking God for his forgiveness. If we were to say it today, like we said it in the old church, I could hear this man saying, Father, I stretch my hands to thee, that there's no other help I know. But we know this man, we know this king by the name of David. And so David wrote this psalm after the prophet Nathan rebuked him for sleeping with Bathsheba. Y'all know the story. That she was a wife of one of his courageous soldiers by the name of Uriah. And so David sleeps with Bathsheba. He impregnates her. Finds out that she's pregnant. And so he sends Uriah from the battle back home to sleep with his wife. And so it would look like it was Uriah that impregnated her. But Uriah wouldn't even sleep with his wife because he was a courageous soldier. But he knew he was supposed to be on the battlefield fighting for the Israelites. And so he would not even sleep with his own wife. And so in an attempt to keep his mess a secret, David had Uriah killed on the battlefront. But he took the captain of his army and said, take him out there in the heat of the battle. Take him out there and withdraw yourself from and let him die. They killed him. And although David covered his dirty deeds, y'all, how many of y'all know that God sees everything? Yeah. That nothing is hidden from the Lord. And so after being confronted, David realized that he's messed up. And he's messed up in his relationship with God. And so he writes to God in Psalm 51. It's a reflection, y'all, of what it looks like, what it means to actually be broken. Why would God allow us to be broken? Simply put, brokenness occurs when the human heart recognizes total dependence on God. God will use your difficulties. God will use your pain. God will use your hurt to draw you closer to him. We have to realize in this world, God really runs things, not us. That God runs things. That God is large and in charge. He is in control. Christian author Nancy Lee DeMoss said this, brokenness is the shattering of my self-will, the absolute surrender of my will to the will of God. It is saying, yes, Lord, no resistance, no chafing, no rubbing, no stubbornness, simply submitting myself to the direction and the guidance and the will of God Almighty. The David's will was shattered in the moment that God confronted him through the prophet Nathan about his sins. He's a broken man. When we talk about brokenness and brokenness from the world standpoint, we know how the world can break us as well. But the world wants to break you, to keep you down, to put you down, to totally shatter you and to annihilate you. That's not how it happens with God. That God uses the circumstances of our lives, those broken places in our lives, to make us better and to make us stronger. God will use those moments to bless you and me. When we talk about brokenness, we usually make reference to being sorry for our sins to the point that it drives us back to God. But here's the truth. Whatever breaks you, whatever brings you to the point of crying out to God, it's beneficial for you and for me. Yeah. Maybe there's someone here saying today, listen, well, I've been broken, but I didn't sin. Guess what? You live in a broken world.
That's right.
That you don't have to experience broken sin to be broken. That the circumstances of life, they will break you. They will bring you down. But God is still using it for your good and for my good. It may not be all good, but your brokenness is good for you when it brings you to your knees and to the feet of Jesus. For some of you, the doctor perhaps gave you a bad report. Broken. Boyfriend or girlfriend, I guess y'all call them booze now. They dumped you. Broken. Perhaps your spouse has been unfaithful, and maybe they seem uncaring. You're broken. Maybe somebody filed you some divorce papers recently, and you're broken. Maybe your child acts like they done lost their mind, and you feel broken. Perhaps your parent is deathly ill. They're lying on their deathbed, and in this moment, you're broken. Maybe you failed the test, you feel alone, you feel undesirable, you feel unwanted, but in this moment perhaps you feel the pain of what it means to be broken. But here's the good news, that though you may be broken and feel like you're down, you don't have to stay down because God wants to raise you up. When God shows up, God will raise you up and God will bless you in your brokenness. That God meets us at the intersection of pain and problems and we come to realize that he's not simply all we need, but he's all we have. A.W. Tozer, the great theologian, said this, It is doubtful that God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. Sometimes God has to hurt you to help you, to bring pain before pleasure, and to go through brokenness to bless you and me. Not only must we understand the meaning of brokenness, but we must understand the method of brokenness. The method of brokenness. By breaking us, God does not seek to utterly destroy us like man will do. That man seeks to break you, to put you down and to keep you down, to oppress you so that you never get up again. That's not how God operates in brokenness. That's not his method. That God will apply just enough pressure, systematically just enough pressure to your life until your will conforms to the will of God Almighty. When Nathan came to David to let him know that God had a 411 on him, y'all, David went into a 911 response. It was an emergency. David's situation, y'all, was like what that television show. Y'all remember, I don't think it still comes up, called Cheaters. You know, on Cheaters, when folk get busted out, y'all, most of them start lying anyway. On television, they caught you lying and you still lying anyway. But David knew he was busted. God saw him when he took Bathsheba into the bedroom. That he saw through the lens, when we think about the lens of God's eyes, that they're all searching and they see everything. God heard him when he plotted to kill Uriah. That God's ears are like a secret microphone that God saw and he heard. God told David in so many ways, listen, I should snatch the doggone breath out of you. But he didn't do that. God said, instead, the child that is going to be born to you in Bathsheba, that child's going to die. The fact that David offended God, that he hurt God, and to know that his child would die was enough pressure applied to David's life to bring him to his knees, to bring him to tears, and to bring him to repentance before God. God knows how to break us. Just like God, it's just like breaking a donkey. Because of the nature of a donkey, it tends to be independent, and it doesn't really like to confront challenges. It pushes back when it's pressure, but it's the very attributes that often lead trainers to the opinion that donkeys are stubborn. Anybody ever heard that before? Expert donkey trainers say this, y'all. They say that gentleness yet firmness combined with patience and compassion lead to breaking the donkey. The Bible refers to a donkey as a dumb animal. Yeah, somebody laughed. And sometimes y'all, I'm not trying to hit anybody, but I'm not trying to miss you either. Sometimes, y'all, we can behave like a donkey, like a dumb animal. God speaks, and we say, no, God, I'm not going to do it that way. That God says, don't go here. Don't do that, but we do it anyway. I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about anybody in the room, y'all. No, but y'all looking like, I don't know what he's talking about up there. I'm not sure. But sometimes we can act that way. You know, it's ironic but true that many of us came to a close relationship with God through our brokenness. Rather than these bountiful, you know, experiences, you know, these other than earthly experiences, we came to God another way. You know, maybe you were just coming out of the Motel 6 and God confronted you. Maybe you were just putting out a crack pipe. Maybe you were just doing that last dope deal and somehow God got your attention and God broke you down. Maybe you were coming straight out of the nightclub. But Jesus confronted you and you found yourself crying out to God that you were weary and wounded and sad, but you found in him a resting place and now he has made you glad. That God does his best work, y'all, in our brokenness, in our hurt, and in our pain. That's when he shows up and we really see him. The breaking of the human spirit is something that's necessary that God has to do to bring conviction in our life. David was convicted because of his sin. And so to prove my point, y'all just look at Psalm 51 for a minute, whatever version you got of it. But let me go Bible on you. It's conviction that drove David to cry out in these verses, have mercy on me, O God. Anybody ever cried that out to God before? Have you cried, have mercy on me, O God? At one point, David sits on one side of the fence, and God is on the other. But after God confronts David, David decides to come over to the other side of the fence where God is. And I'm saying that to somebody this morning. You're on the other side of the fence. God is on one side. You're on the other side. But God wants you and me to come to the other side of the fence where he is. All right. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord.
That's right.
Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them whiter than snow. So we know that David is, he's feeling the thing, y'all, that he's convicted, he's broken, and God is working in his life. And what lets us know that David is convicted, listen, he didn't attempt to evade, that he didn't lie about it. After Nathan fronted him out, he didn't lie, he didn't skirt around, he didn't avoid it. He didn't avoid the situation like we can do sometimes. Anybody ever try to rationalize with God? Yeah, God, no, but everybody else is doing it too, so. Yeah, God, but you know, I serve you well. I show up at church, you know, I do my prayer and I do my tithe. God, can we let this little issue over here? Come on, is that all right? No, it's not. That David didn't trivialize his sin, and neither should we. And listen, according to verse 5, he says this, I was shaped in iniquity, I was conceived in sin. David reveals the nature of his condition of sin without trying to excuse it. Don't excuse your sin. Don't trivialize your sin.
Yeah.
Again, somebody here still saying, listen, Pastor, you're talking about sin and stuff like that. I ain't doing none of that stuff. You know, I'm not a David. You know, his situation was treacherous. It was like scandalous. It was like made for television kind of stuff. And I know none of us in here have ever had that kind of make for television kind of stuff. But I believe this, y'all. If God were to put us on the big screen in the sanctuary right now, a lot of folk in here would be ducking and diving and looking and like and shaming and covering up. That God knows your stuff and my stuff too. But in his grace, God forgives us. But God has to break us down. God has to break us down sometimes to bring us back up. That David understood he deeply hurt God. It was not just because he sinned, but he knew he hurt God. Anybody remember when you were growing up, and maybe some of you children can testify today, when you hurt your parent? You mess up, you do something wrong. And it is not just the fact that you did something wrong. It's the fact that, you know, your mama crumbled. Why you do that? Why? And you feel really bad because you hurt your parent. It's not so much that, you know, that we do the wrong, but we offend God and we ought to feel a certain way about it when we offend God. Yeah. So some of y'all remember 2004 Grammy Award winning artist Usher. Some of y'all still may call him Ursha. Yeah, Ursha was supposed to be in Miami, I think, on this weekend, and a storm kept him out of there, but that's all right. But y'all remember that hit album, Confessions? Yeah, anybody remember? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I believe David beat the Usher. that David got to running at the mouth. He got to confessing before God. And what I love about God, y'all, is this, that when we confess our faults, when we confess it, our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the kind of God we serve.
Thank you, Lord.
So David uses few words here I want to bring out in the text, four words in verses 1-5 to describe what true confession really looks like, beloved of God. He uses the word, King James, I think it is, transgressions. Transgressions refer to rebellion or deliberately crossing over a boundary. You transgress. You cross over a boundary. God says, here's the line right here. You say, yeah, God, and you cross over. That's transgression. He uses the word in the text, iniquity, which suggests a perversiveness or twistedness. He uses the word sin, which we know is falling short of the mark. It's missing the target. And David uses, verse 4, he uses evil. Evil simply refers to ugly, repulsive nature of sin against God. You know, when we talk about our stuff today, you know, are we fallen? You know, a gospel recording artist, you know, he messed up, you know. They found out that he did the do, and people found out about it. And y'all, it came across in the news, you know, such and so, they have fallen. And I mean, thinking, what fallen? Did he trip over a rock or something? What, he fell? You know, We don't like to call sin sin and evil and iniquity and transgressions and crossing the line. We like to pretty it up sometimes, don't we, y'all? Yeah, I've fallen. No, you sin. You messed up. It was evil. It was a transgression.
That's right.
And so David didn't try to cover it up. He says, Lord, forgive me and purify me. David says, Lord, I need you to wash me because I'm dirty. And if you clean me up, listen, I'll be whiter than white. So God, I need you to change me in my distress. God, to give me joy. Erase my sin before your face. David's confession was true. How many people in the house today right now that you're in some situation you know you should not be in? And you're willing to say it's wrong, but you don't want to correct it. How long do you think God will stay with that? I don't know, but I certainly wouldn't want to find out. I'm not saying that God doesn't love you, that you're still, that you're unsaved. I'm not saying that, but think about it. If God is speaking to your heart in this moment right now, is there something you need to confess, but something you need to get rid of too? You need to let it go. That's what God wants, is true confession. When we sin, we must confess it before God. The confession, it's our confession. It needs to be a true confession. You know, in your brokenness, you might say, you're still saying, I ain't done no wrong. And that may be true. But here's one thing I know about brokenness. That whatever breaks you can bring you closer to God. Perhaps you're broken again because of some fear, some circumstance that's out of your control that you had nothing at all to do with it, but it breaks you. And God can use that brokenness to bless you and to bring you closer and closer to him.
Yeah.
One more thing, y'all, we're going to close this out. We'll talk about the miracle of brokenness. Through sacrifice, God's people bless him, and in turn, he blesses them when we go to those broken places and we allow God to break us and to make us better, to make us stronger. That we understand the method and the process of being broken. But we have to understand the miracle of brokenness. David says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God won't look down on you in your broken moments. God won't put his foot on you. God wants to raise you up. God wants to bless you with me. God can change a downward direction, a downward spiral, and bring you and me up when we submit to his will. That God can take a situation that's in a decline and bring it back up into an incline. The miracle of brokenness means that God will give you a radical change of heart. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. David wanted a radical change of heart and the spirit, not a restoration of what was before. David wanted something new. A right or steadfast spirit is one that's fixed and resolute on the heart of God. God won't repossess his spirit in you, but God will possess you with more of his spirit when we get us out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in us. God will give you divine restoration. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. God will take you from stagnation to jubilation. God will give back the joy of your relationship with him. Perhaps some of you have lost your joy today. Where are you in God? How do you allow him to break you, to make you better and stronger? God will cause you to reach others for him. I'll teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. When God has forgiven you and bought you out, listen, you got a testimony. And as long as you got a testimony, you ought to tell somebody. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. Jeremiah said it's like fire shut up in my bones. It was James Augie, great preacher and evangelist, that said this a long time ago. He preached in the South. He says, the church is not a select circle of the immaculate, but a home where the outcast may come in. It's not a palace with the gate attendants and challenging guards along the entrance ways, holding off arm's length a stranger, but rather a hospital where the brokenhearted may be healed and where all the weary and troubled may find rest and take counsel together. We must understand that God specializes in broken things. If it ain't broke, God will break it to make you better, to make you stronger. God uses broken things and broken people. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It's a broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. God allows us to be broken and uses it greatly in our broken, uses us greatly in our broken condition. To wrap it up today, I want to remind you of a few people that God had to break. He had to break them to make them better. God had to break Abraham from his impatience. He tried to have a son, a child in his own way, but God had to break him to bless him, to make him the father of many nations. God had to break Jacob from self-reliance and trickery as he wrestled with an angel. The Bible says he won in the battle. Jacob was broken that day, but he was blessed with a new name, Israel, because he struggled with God and he won. And Israel was blessed with 12 tribes that led the nation. God had to break a man by the name of Saul on an old dusty Damascus road. When it was all said and done, that God raised him up to be a mighty warrior and a preacher to the Gentile nation, but God had to break him. God had to break Peter down, who denied him. A broken Peter who cried out, God help me. A broken Peter weeping bitterly. He ran out, but God had to break him. And Peter became a great apostle to the new church. I'm reminded when a multitude was hungry, Jesus took a few loaves of bread, y'all, and broke it. And he fed 5,000 people, not including women and children. In the upper room where the disciples fellowship with Jesus, what do we find? That he takes bread and he blesses it first and he breaks it and he feeds them. I'm reminded on the hill called Calvary, a blessed Jesus was beaten and mocked and scorned. He died for the sins of the world. That on the cross, he became broken bread for you and for me. He became poured out wine for you and for me. They broke him, but they could not keep him down. My Bible says 3 days later, he got back up with all power in his hand. And I want to let you know something today. Listen, if God is going to use you, God's going to have to break you. And I don't know how God's going to break you, but let him break you. Because when you are in God's hands, y'all, we are broken bread in the hands of God. And when God breaks us, God can use us in a mighty way. I wonder if we got some folk in the house that God break me. Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. God, when you break me, you can use me. So God, break me. God, when you break me, you can make me better, God. So go ahead and break me. God, go ahead and break me, God. Break me from my evil way. Break me from myself. Break me, oh God. God, when you break me, you can use me. God, I want to be used by you. God, I surrender all to you. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. Break me, God. Break me, God. I give my will to you. I give myself away. But break me, God. Break me until you can use me. Break me until I look like you. Break me until I walk like you. Break me until I talk like you. God, break me. Break me, God. Break me, God. Break me, God. Break me. God, I know then you gonna bless me when I'm broken. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah and amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we want to be more like you. But we realize that there has to be a breaking, to break us of our self-will, to break us of us and what we want and what we desire. And to simply say to you, here I am, God, have your way in my life. And God, in this moment, if there's any area of my life that I've yet to surrender to you, any part of my will, oh God, in this moment I surrender, I give in, I give up, oh God. Because I know that it's the sacrifice that you desire. It's a broken spirit that you will not reject, a broken and repentant heart. So here we are, oh God, with repentant hearts, asking you to forgive us, to clean us up, to make us whole, oh God. Because we want to be used by you. in every area of our lives, God, surrendering everything to you, surrendering everything to you. It's yours, oh God. Have your way in us and through us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray right now in this moment for someone that may be here today and perhaps you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. As good as we think we might be, that we don't do this or we don't do that. It's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ are we saved. And God, you have to break that wheel of selfishness. And say, I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the church. I don't need this stuff. And when we do, so Holy Spirit, permeate hearts and minds right now to let the unsaved know that they need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Speak to the heart of some who are not a part of a local assembly, a church, Lord God. Let them know that Living Faith Community Church is a good place to be, a place where we're connecting real life to a real faith. But Holy Spirit, in this moment, you have your way. Do what only you can do. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here today, I encourage you, I plead with you, that if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, you need to have a relationship with him. And so what does that look like at the everyday speed of life, practically? It means that we repent. Well, we confess first that we're sinners. We don't try to hide it. We don't evade it. It's true. And then we repent. We turn from our sins and we turn to the Lord. We believe that God sent his Son into the world to die for our sins. We confess Jesus with our mouth. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that settles it. You are saved. And so if you're here today and you're believing for the first time, you're listening in, our online audience, I'm speaking to you today too. But if you're here and you're in a sanctuary today, perhaps you're without a church home, we invite you today. Our ushers are standing in the aisle. And so if it's your heart's desire to connect with Living Faith Community Church, if it's your heart's desire to connect in a relationship with Jesus, we have new member ministry advisors that will meet you in room number one. They'll gather some information from you. They'll answer any questions that you might have, and we'll welcome you to Living Faith with open arms. And so if you're here today and that's your heart's desire, our ushers are standing in the aisle. Won't you follow them to room number one? Won't you follow them to room number one in this moment? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. We have right here, right now, and today. If you're here right now and you say, listen, it's on my heart to do, but really I don't know if I want to get up in front of a bunch of people and walk out with them, you can do that after the worship experience. There will be a new member ministry advisor in room number one just across the hallway. You can meet one of them there. They'll gather information from you and welcome you with open arms. If you're on our online ministry today, of course you're not in the sanctuary, but you can do that today as well. There is a new member ministry form that you can fill out. Fill that form out online today. You'll see it there. And I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you and we'll welcome you with open arms. Will there be one?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.